Welcome to the podcast, the From the Ashes podcast. I'm Tony Sanders, and today I'm here with the boys.
The boys.
My three sons are here with me today. We're going to do a podcast, just talk about some different stuff. And I know that, I don't know if you've heard their voice.
I'm Brian.
Brian.
How's it going?
I'm Matthew.
And I'm Brad.
There you go. That way you know who's talking. Because some of the people out there that are in the family that, you know, we don't see very much, they might get confused because you guys grew up almost instantly.
Yeah.
I mean, you were babies like 30 minutes ago.
I'm pretty sure, yeah. I actually, you know what? It might be time for my diaper change.
Oh, my
Jesus
gosh.
Christ.
Yeah, it's tough.
I don't know about all that. I used to hate doing that. I won't lie. That was not my favorite deal.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
But it does seem like y'all grew up pretty fast overnight.
Yeah.
And you're all pretty much grown now.
Yeah. Gosh.
And even, well, Brian's in graduate school, and Matthew is still in college. He doesn't have much college left. Brad's already graduated. He's done.
Yeah.
I've escaped. Yep.
He's escaped. And really, it won't be long, and you'll all just be out doing your own thing. I mean, you're almost there now, pretty much.
Yeah. Not too long from now, I'll have a real job, and they'll pay me real money to do it. It's crazy.
Well, now you get paid now.
That's true. I get paid now, you know, but nothing crazy. No. I still get to go to, well, it's nice because they pay me and I go to school, so it works out.
Yeah.
Here soon you'll be like me and you'll work for the government. Woo-hoo. And then you know you're in there.
Then you know you've made it.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, you know, we don't get together too much anymore.
Yeah.
Not all of us. So it's pretty rare that we're able to sit down and do a podcast together because, well, Brian lives all the way in Texas and Brad's right down toward the coast. And now Matthew's more local.
Yeah.
At least for now.
Here. Yeah.
Yeah. We don't know where he's going to be tomorrow, but for right now,
for today, he's here.
Apparently the zoo.
Oh, yeah.
Do what now?
Apparently we're going to be at the zoo tomorrow.
We are going to the zoo tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Going to go check out some animals.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
And take some pictures. Matthew loves taking his pictures and stuff.
Yeah, this guy takes 5,000 photos a second, I think.
Listen. It's basically attached to my hand.
That's crazy.
He's pretty good at it.
He is a good photographer.
He's got really like a whole thing going on.
Yeah, except for wide angle. That's just hard.
You know, it's weird. Y'all grew up in the same house, and you all have distinctively different personalities.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we do.
Yep.
Yeah.
You're very different.
Yeah, you would think you'd be like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. They're pretty similar. Nope.
No, I don't even think your favorite foods are similar, are they?
Gosh.
I don't know.
I don't even know what my favorite food is.
What would even be your favorite food? Because I know me, the meat guy and the seafood, that kind of thing.
I think my favorite food that I've ever eaten was like a swordfish filet. That was it.
You like swordfish?
Yeah.
That's so really specific.
It was awesome.
That's an interesting choice of fish. I've had it.
Do you not like it?
It's good, but it's one of the more bland game fishes. Interesting. Okay.
That's a hot take.
I like salmon more than swordfish.
Interesting. Okay. What about you, Matthew?
I think I just want fruit, honestly.
Just fruit?
Yeah. Just any fruit.
Fruit is your favorite food?
Yeah, honestly.
Wow.
That's weird.
Wow.
I wouldn't have thought that.
Like 30 seconds ago, we were just talking, well, before we got in here, we were talking, excuse me, that there was a day, like last week, I ate nothing but peaches all day because it was really good.
What?
Well, now they're good, but I don't know that would be my, like I eat a lot of vegetables.
I could live off nothing but fruit.
Well, I don't know that it would be my favorite.
Yeah.
I don't know about that one, Chief. I don't think a peach can outweigh a good steak. I'm sorry.
Missing out. Grilled pineapple has nothing to eat.
I would say my favorite food is crab legs.
Mm, yeah.
That's probably mine too. Yeah. And I like crab legs and seafood. I even like sushi a lot. I just like fish and that kind of thing a lot.
Well, I don't mind fish. I like fish, but sushi has always struck me as a very strong fish smell.
Really?
It depends on where you go, I think, and what kind of sushis you eat. Like, I refuse to eat octopus. I'll never do it.
Oh,
well, now that I've had little bitty, small squid type things, but they were very kind of chewy.
Right.
Yeah. And that's one thing, but some people eat the whole octopus in sushi restaurants. Mm. That scares me.
Some of it's raw. It's a little
scary to do that.
Well, you know, we were talking about a couple of things earlier, and one of the things I was curious about, because we've just kind of, you know, touched on it a little, but y'all were getting older, and I kind of thought when I look back over my life, I did some things I liked, you know, I don't regret like all of it, but there's some things I do regret. Mm-hmm. Like there's some places I've never seen I wished I could have seen. And I was curious to where, if you could see one place or go one place in the world today, or you know, in the near future that you wouldn't want to miss in your life, where would it be? We'll start with Brian.
Oh, no, I wasn't ready. Okay, I was thinking about this. I always wanted to go to those, you know, those villages where they, like, take you up a mountain, and there's, like, this old guy that shows you up a mountain, and he's like, oh, yes, my family's lived here for 500 years. I don't know where this mountain is, but I would like to climb one of those mountains.
But, like, in Nepal or something with a Sherpa and that kind of thing? Yeah. Okay.
Now, would that be, like, someplace? I always think of Tibet or someplace.
Yeah, like something like that, where you go up a mountain, and you look out, and you're like, wow, I'm above the clouds right now.
My luck, there'd be this really wise guy up there, and I'd get up there, and I'd go, I finally made it. And then he would look at me and go, wow, you wasted a lot of your life.
Or worse, he goes, you have yet to start your journey. And you're like, no!
Wait a minute. I'm already almost, you know.
Yeah.
Most of my life's probably gone, and I'd be like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah, he's like, oh, no.
I'd be like, you realize I can't make that climb again.
Yeah. Like, that was my one. I'm good.
Can't do that again. How about you, Matthew?
I'm kind of right there with Brian. I was thinking Everest just because it's so massive, but just really any mountain.
Oh, but see, Everest is different than what I mean, though. Everest is scary because then you got to get, like, oxygen masks, and it's, like, snowing all the time.
Well, see, I think that's where I went with it is because hardly anybody can or does ever do that.
I think I would die.
Well, now, some people have done it.
Well, some people have. Some people. But, like, very few people ever get to do that.
Yeah.
And I'm ruling out the whole death thing. Just sheer, if we could just be there without the whole dying problem.
You're going all the way to the summit, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, you would do it even if it meant you dying, you would do it?
No. I was ruling out the idea that it's not the safest thing to go do.
Oh, yeah, just hypothetically,
places,
if you could.
Yeah, just places to pick.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
It would be cool to do.
Oh, I changed my answer. Since he said that, I changed my answer.
Okay.
I want to go to the moon.
Okay.
That would be nice.
I want to see Earth from the moon. Yeah.
Now, there's something I have never understood, and I'm going to sound dumb when I say this.
All right.
You've always heard about the dark side of the moon.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so apparently the way the Earth and moon in relation to one another, you never see one side of the moon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, does anybody know why that is?
Yes.
Brian, explain. Yes.
I won't explain it perfectly, but it has to do with how the orbits are locked in place. So it's just like a conservation of angular momentum thing.
Mm-hmm.
The way they're rotating, the different speeds that they're orbiting, you just can't. If you could see another side, I'd be really worried that it was going to fall and hit the Earth or just float away.
Well, you know, because there's been some speculation about whether, you know, what's on the dark side of the moon.
Right, yeah.
You know, and that always is kind of, if you can't really see that side unless you go there,
mm-hmm.
you know, it makes you wonder if you were an alien, whatever. I mean, conceivably, you could stay on the dark side forever and nobody here would know you were there.
Here's my question. Is the dark side always the dark side? Or does it slightly change over a very long period of time?
Well, no, to my understanding, it's the reference from where we are.
That's what I'm saying. Like, with those rotations, is the dark side now going to be slightly different, you know, in 1,000 years? Does it rotate very, very slowly?
If it's changing a little, it might just be, like, hardly
very,
all.
Very tiny, yeah, like maybe. A glacier moving or something.
I mean, the moon is, like, isn't it getting closer to us just a little bit over time?
I don't know.
That I've never heard that before.
Either way, it's moving a little because there's, well, unfortunately for our whole existence, we don't have perfect orbits, so.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
So Brian's the moon, and Matthew is Everest.
Mm-hmm.
Which that would be kind of, like I said, that sounds cool, but I don't know that. I think if I went at my age, I'd have to be in some really good shape.
Yeah. Well, see, that's my thing is I'm barring the danger, like, yeah. health aspect of it. Just places to pick to be. That'd be cool.
So if they had one of those, what do they call them when you got the little seats, you like bucket?
Oh, yeah.
Like sky lifts?
Yeah. Yeah.
Going to the top of Everest? Now that would be okay.
That'd be nice.
I mean, that'd be cool. And honestly, me being me, I would love to be able to climb it, but that's unreal.
The tough
to
climb.
Try to do that. Yeah,
it'd be some nice photography up there.
Yeah, it'd be cool.
Yeah,
it'd be really cool
if your camera doesn't freeze.
That's true.
It's frozen, and not like that. I mean, actually, it's frozen.
Oh, I could see it happening.
Yeah.
How about you, Brent?
I've been trying to think. There's a lot of places I'd like to go, so it's hard. It kind of sounds like we're talking about natural places to go. So, I'd like to see. I don't know. The coast of Ireland or Scotland or something
mm-hmm.
on the rocks, you know, where they've got the forest there and the rocks and it's cooler weather and, you know, the fog and that kind of thing. I think that'd be really pretty to see.
So your place, you could actually just go visit.
I could just go there. Yeah, yeah. I think that would be really cool.
He is very obtainable goals.
Yeah, okay. He can do his.
Yeah,
me
yeah,
and you, the rest of us. Yeah, I can do mine on like a weekend when I really want to do it. Yeah. But I don't know. I'm simple. I like
Brad's a
quiet
realist.
Places, I guess.
Yeah.
I
don't know. Yeah.
That's my thing. I just like quiet, pretty places. So.
Well, when you watch the beginning of the Hobbit movie.
Yeah.
And they've got this little Hobbit village, this tiny village. Well, tiny in relation to most people.
Yeah, I guess so.
And they're out on this side of this whatever. It looks like a hill.
Yeah.
But it looks awfully peaceful.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
That's kind of what I'm thinking. But specifically the coastal area, because I know, like me, I like the coast a lot and the ocean and everything. But.
If I had enough money, nobody would ever see me again.
Yeah.
Except a few people.
Yeah.
You know, kids mainly, but everybody else, they would think I was dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would literally be gone. If I had the money that some of these Hollywood people have.
Oh, gosh. I think I'd live in a hobbit hole.
You would never see me.
Yeah.
Like, they wouldn't even know if I was alive.
They'd be delivering me food, and I would just be in my little corner.
Yeah, I would I'd buy like 500 acres somewhere, and I would, like, you know.
Yeah.
I would have everything I needed.
You'd be that guy where they go, you know, I wonder what happened to that old Tony guy.
Yeah, I wonder if he's still out there.
Yeah, and then they look it up, and they're like, there's no answer. They're like, oh, I guess he's somewhere.
Now, I will tell you this. If I was going to go somewhere right now, there's a couple of places I would love to go see the pyramids of Egypt.
Yeah.
Like, firsthand. Cool. You know, because that would be cool. Because I've never seen them other than on television.
Right.
But I would rather see the Colosseum in, I guess it's in Rome, I imagine. Mm-hmm. I think that's where it is. Rome, Italy, is that right?
Yeah, that
would be very cool to see.
That would be awesome.
We were talking about this the other day, and I didn't realize some of this until I was just kind of looking into it. If you've seen the TV series Spartacus that's currently on Netflix, been on there for some time. It's an interesting series. And it has a lot to do with gladiators and things that happened in the Colosseum and different places, right?
Right.
And I didn't realize, but about 400,000 people apparently died roughly in the Colosseum.
That's so many
people. That's a lot of
people. When it was in use.
Yeah.
That's a lot of people.
Right.
And what I didn't realize, when you watch Spartacus, you get the impression that these gladiators go into the arena and they're fighting to the death all the time. And I think they did do some of that, especially early on. Mm-hmm. But just like in the TV series where they had this, you know, house of Baryatis or whatever it is. I don't know, this house of whatever. And they're training these gladiators. Apparently it became too expensive to keep training gladiators. So they really didn't fight to the death all that often.
Yeah.
That's my understanding of it, too. Because when I was, like, you know, the several years I took Latin and stuff, I got a lot of Roman history stuff. And that's exactly what I know of it.
Yep.
They were entertainers.
Right.
It was a blood sport, but they were a lot like football players.
They
get injured, but they don't want to kill their stars. I mean,
there's
people that will go and root for their gladiator that season. Mm-hmm. You know, it was a whole industrialized sport.
And apparently they did a lot of fighting against animals.
That's crazy.
You know, they're actually, I've never seen Spartacus. Does it show the different kinds of gladiators? Like the different armors and equipment?
There are different ones.
There's one, and I used to know the Latin names for them, but there'll be ones that were designed for spars between like men.
Yep.
And then they would have the ones that had nets and spears that were designed for a different kind of fighting.
Yes. Uh-huh. They were different, and they were called different things. Even the different sizes of their shield would represent a different type of gladiator.
Oh. Yep. Yeah, and there'd be the one I remember most clearly, and I wish I remembered the name of it, was one that was like, I don't know, it reminded me of a fisherman. They had like a billhook and a net.
Yep.
And it's a very unique thing, but because they would literally go in there and trip people up and grab them in their nets or throw a net and grab people, you know.
That's weird. Crazy.
I even saw where sometimes they fought like giraffes and stuff.
I'd never seen a giraffe, but I know they did a lot of exotic animals.
Yeah, and I don't know how tough a giraffe would be.
Way tougher than you'd think.
I bet so.
Giraffes are very powerful. You don't think of it because they're herbivores. In a lot of cases, they're prey animals. But there's videos of giraffes fighting off lions.
See, that's crazy. Like, I've always heard giraffes depicted as, like, peaceful animals.
They are, but they're very powerful.
See, it's hard to imagine that.
Yeah.
To be fair, I don't know how I'd fight a giraffe. You know what I mean?
I don't know.
Like, what do you? I can't even reach it. What do you do?
I guess you chop it down until it gets shorter.
Go for the legs.
You got to have your bill hook, I guess.
You got to break its leg, I guess.
I get, you know, but I didn't realize until I was looking into it that, like I said, most of them didn't fight to the death.
Mm. Yeah.
And as a matter of fact, I didn't realize until I was looking into it that a lot of the storyline, I mean, I'm sure not all of it because it's Hollywood, but a lot of the storyline for the Spartacus series was real.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there was actually a Spartacus.
The leader of the slave rebellion, of the gladiatorial rebellion. He was a historical figure.
Whoa. Why do you know that?
I was exposed to a lot of Roman history in 4 years of Latin. I can't speak a lick of it anymore, but I remember a lot of that.
I forgot you took Latin.
I did, 4 years.
Yeah. But it's hard to believe. I didn't realize that was actually a real thing.
Yeah, I thought they just made that up. That's crazy.
Mm-mm. And he was actually killed by the guy in that series that they depicted, that Roman general guy.
Whoa.
And
what was his name?
Yeah, I was trying to remember his name, but I don't, right off the top of my head.
It's a great story, and I can't remember what his name was.
But he really did kill Spartacus, apparently. Whoa. At least that's the way the story goes.
No, I'm just kidding.
But when you look up gladiators, when you think of a gladiator, how long their lifespan is, it's 25 to 30 years old.
Wow.
For a gladiator. Mm. That's a really short lifespan.
Yeah, that means I only got a couple good years of gladiator left in me.
Yeah. And I forget his name, but if you look it up online, there is a gladiator or two that's considered the best of all gladiators. He actually has a monument or something that's dedicated to him. And as a matter of fact, this is interesting, and I didn't realize this, but the gladiators, they had this sort of a brotherhood about them. Mm-hmm. When you died as a gladiator, your headstone that was given to you by the other gladiators or whatever had your record put on it.
Did it? I didn't know that. That's very cool.
Yes.
Cool.
And that's how they kept up with a lot of the records of these gladiators.
You know, Brian, that's kind of like your kill cam. You get your stats after you go down in a video game.
That's crazy.
They've just got them on record.
And if you look up considered the best gladiator that ever lived, and I saw him online, I forget his name, but his record was like 20-something wins, but he still had like 4 losses.
Wow. Wow.
So that tells you he didn't get killed when he lost.
Yeah.
You know, that's a lot like a heavyweight boxer or something.
Yes.
They lost 3 or 4 times in their career, like Mike Tyson or somebody, and that was their record.
Right. Yeah.
How do you call a fight against an animal and not
Well, they probably killed the animals.
Yeah. We're talking about gladiator to gladiator.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
You know, I'm sure the animals were, you know, you either win or lose.
Yeah.
I'm sure, you know, there's probably groups of gladiators that were like, Bob killed two lions in the arena the other day or something. I'm sure there was, you know, days like that. But
Yeah. It's very interesting.
It is cool. I need to watch that show. I think I'd enjoy that.
It's a pretty good series. Yeah. But I didn't realize that the storyline was real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I just, there's another guy, another main character in that story is called Crixus.
Mm-hmm. I know the name, but I don't remember what he did.
Yeah, well, he was the champion of Capua initially. He really was, and in the end of the series, him and Spartacus kind of are like co-commanders, and they split their armies off. And in real life, they actually did that.
That's crazy.
So they were actually, I guess, friends. I don't know, but those were both real people.
You know, well, we're sitting here talking about the Roman Empire. You know what would make a really good show? It'd be Caesar's Conquest of Rome. And like a Game of Thrones type show.
Yeah, that would be
cool. An incredible historic. Like, can you imagine an HBO version of a scene where Caesar's crossing the Rhine? Mm-hmm. Like, that would make an incredible TV show.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and especially if it's historically accurate, I would love to watch that.
Yeah, that would be pretty good. Now, I had a question. Y'all know I'm a big UFO guy.
Right.
Mm. Now, some people in the family probably don't know I love UFOs. I love the whole alien thing. That's a theme that I've always enjoyed. And as a matter of fact, when Art Bell was around, I used to listen to Art Bell when y'all were kids, babies even, just about every night.
Yeah.
And before y'all were even, you know, I ever met your mom, I listened to Art Bell.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. I've listened to it.
I remember when I was little, you'd listen to Coast to Coast and Art Bell. I remember.
Yeah. I love all that stuff. I watch all those shows I can, even the silly ones.
Right.
Yeah. I watch them. And I was curious, what do you really believe, Brian?
Oh.
We'll start with you.
All right.
What's your thoughts on aliens and UFOs? You think they're real?
Oh, gosh. That's a tough question.
I mean, I'm asking a physicist.
That's true. It's a tough question.
Brian's an actual physicist. He's working on his PhD. He'll get there at some point.
Yeah.
And I'm asking him if he thinks UFOs are real.
I think.
Now, you now remember, when before you answer, all the your colleagues are going
to
think
they're all
going
to listen to it. Yeah, they're all going to listen.
If they ever hear this podcast right now, they're going,
he's a loony.
Yeah. I think it's interesting. I think that most, I think there are aliens. Let's say that. There are aliens, but I wouldn't think that they're, I don't know that they're little green people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think you can consider aliens bacteria on some other planet. That's still aliens. That's certainly a thing, I would imagine. Universe is very big, which is the other part is we actually can't observe past this certain region. There's basically like this little bubble that we live in that we can't see past. So it's not impossible to say that there's stuff out there that we just have no clue about, right? But as far as UFOs go on Earth, it's tough because the universe is really big. So even if there is intelligent life, they would have had to have found us. And we are very young in terms of the universe, so it's hard. So I think maybe on UFOs, but it's like a low percentage chance. I think a lot of what we probably observe and people say is, I don't know how that happened. What was that weird light? Probably just the government testing something that they really, they're like, this is the coolest technology ever. Let's fly it.
Yeah. Well, now, I heard somebody on a show one time, and we're going to get to Matthew's opinion here in a second, but this guy said that, or I think it may have been a woman, actually. She said that, and I think she was something in science. I don't know what she was. Mm-hmm. But she said that she believes that there's like you, there's a low percentage chance because she thinks aliens and people that may exist on other planets are bound by the same laws of physics that we are here.
Right.
And that it's universal throughout the universe. There's nothing you can change about this. Right. It is what it is. And it would just be as hard, it would be just as more as difficult for them to get here as for us to go there.
Yeah. Even now, if they travel the speed of light, which we think is impossible currently, even if they did that, we still haven't observed anything that could possibly be aliens within that distance.
Okay. And then, but when she said that though, okay, my thought process was this, that when she made that comment, I was thinking, well, that's assuming that what we know about physics, that would be assuming we know everything.
Yeah, yeah,
that's true.
There's a lot we don't know.
Yeah.
And so when you make a definitive statement like that, like, I'm not sure they could get here because they're bound, I'm thinking, well, what if there's a lot we don't understand?
Yeah.
What if we're wrong?
The laws of physics, well, as we know of them.
Yeah. We know some things are right.
Yeah, but like as far as some of our rules, what if we just don't understand them completely?
But they may know some things maybe we don't know.
Sure. Yeah.
Maybe in another
laws of physics.
Right. Maybe in another million years we will look at physics a little differently.
Yeah.
I mean that's what happened with I mean even this is very recent, like quantum mechanics we didn't think was really a thing. Einstein was like, I don't like this. This is kind of annoying. It seems just too random for me. But then we come into the 60s and we keep going through like all these world wars, all the way past the Cold War, and we go, quantum mechanics is crazy. There's a lot of stuff that we still can't explain.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that we deal with continuously. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot out there. We just don't know.
We don't know. That's mm-hmm. right. How about you, Matthew?
I think there probably is some sort of outside life. I don't know. I think y'all are right in the fact that I don't know if we ever have visitors here, that kind of thing. But I feel like just ruling it out with how vast the universe is as we're the only intelligent life would be kind of just not a smart choice. Mm-hmm. So there probably is. It's just, I think I'm subscribing to the same idea that I don't know how they would get here.
Yeah.
And I heard something kind of interesting one time, and I was flipping around online. I heard just people talking about this kind of thing one time. I think it was Neil deGrasse Tyson, but he said something along the idea of, what if they did somehow get here and they saw us and they went, nah, not intelligent life. They just decided to leave. It's completely possible because, I mean, like y'all are talking about, what if they're so far beyond the point that we are that they might look at our planet and go, they're not even close.
Yeah, yeah. How about you?
Yeah, this is fun. I think that in the universe, there is no doubt there is or was other life forms. I think it would be nearly impossible that we're the first. I mean, it's possible that we're the first intelligent life, but we couldn't be the last.
Right.
And it would be bold of us to assume that we're the only ones. So I think it just, in the vastness of space, there probably is other life. Now, whether or not they've been here, I don't know. I mean, you know, it's not impossible. I mean, it's not impossible. It's just, it would require physics that we don't understand. It definitely was, but I don't think it's impossible. And there's also that one theory that, you know, there have been multiple great civilizations over the life of the universe, but we're so vastly far apart that we've never existed in the same era. They die long before they ever find anybody else because the universe is so vast. But at the same time, who can't say that, well, wormholes are a thing and we've been watched the entire time? I mean, you never really know.
Yeah.
I guess you can, the universe is so vast, I think it would be arrogant to say that we absolute certainty are the only ones.
Yeah.
I think it would be very arrogant and incorrect, but yeah, I just don't know if they've been here or not. In a way, I'd like to think they have been, you know, because maybe at some point we can be exposed to a much faster, you know, world.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Yeah.
Well, as everybody that's listening can tell, my boys, my kids are much more level-headed than I am. Based on the statement I'm about to make, because, you know, I believe not only have aliens been here, I believe they are here. I believe they've been here for as long as mankind has been here, probably long before that. And I think they visit quite often. And I believe there's, you know, space is so vast. I mean, when we're talking about the possibility of life being on other planets, I think that the odds are greater that there is intelligent life on other planets than, in my mind, that there isn't. And you would have to assume that some of these planets have been around a lot longer than Earth.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that these people have, or aliens or whatever you want to call them, have survived and grown as a species maybe thousands or millions of years beyond what we do, what we have. And I would assume that that's enabled them to you know, adapt or create or discover some technology that would allow them to make that distance much easier. You know, we didn't have planes at one time. At one time, people on boats didn't think the world was anything but flat.
Right.
And when you look at things like that, if you thought anything different, you were crazy. And even though science, as time goes along in our world, it gets to be, we get a little smarter and we understand things a little better and physics becomes more well understood and all this. But I don't know, they're already doing, you know, cars that can fly, or basically we have planes that don't have to land on a glide. They can come straight up off the ground, and we have lasers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's just so many, and we've already been able to send a message back in time, only just a short period of time, but it's possible. And so when you look at that, I would say, yes, it's very possible. And I think some, like Brian said, I think some of what we see, maybe a lot of what we see, is the government testing things, doing things that, you know, it's like I had told them one day that maybe they're, you know, they've gotten some technology from something like Roswell.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they have reverse engineered it. And sometimes when we see something that we can't explain, the government, they could be testing something out, trying something out, because even if people see it and they don't want you to see it, let's be honest, some of these things, it's just hard to test them so they can't be seen.
And they'd rather you think it was a UFO than it was them.
Yeah, they don't want you to.
That be your angle of speculation.
They don't want you to know it's a government's top secret project.
Yeah.
So for them, if you think it's a UFO, all the better.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, yeah, that's a UFO. You got it, buddy.
That is why I think that that Congress finally let out some of the UFO records is to make that speculation more widespread while they can do things that they can't normally hide.
Now, that raises the one question, the one thing that I've always found the most interesting about UFOs, and that's the Phoenix Lights.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for those that don't know what the Phoenix Lights are, you should look it up on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a ship, we assume it's one ship, there were several of them in a 24-hour period of time.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the ones that were seen by multiple people were bigger than a small airport.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big ship.
Yeah.
Very huge. Large.
Not making a lot of noise, moving across the sky. And that, to me, that screams either somebody from another planet, either that or the government has something that is so top secret that, you know, I don't, you know what I mean? Yeah. It makes you wonder what they do have if that's the case. But I'd have to assume that it's aliens, and you'd think, well, where would you hide something like that? Well, we don't know that they don't have some sort of cloaking technology. We don't know that if they don't have a base on the other side of the moon and just sitting over there, we don't know that they're not in the ocean.
Well, I was about to say, we can lose an airplane and not find it for 5 years. An advanced civilization could hide in the ocean and we'd never know where they were there.
I mean, right.
It's very, very true.
The ocean is extremely vast.
It is.
Mm-hmm. And we had talked about this one day, and I think me and Matthew maybe mentioned it. I can't remember. But when you go to a place where the ocean's really clear, mm-hmm. and you're looking at the water and you're kind of looking underneath and looking at the bottom and you can see 40, 50, 60 feet, and you realize you're only in 40, 50, 60 feet and you can see the bottom, and then you think, gosh, what would it be like if it was, you know, a mile and a half down?
Mm-hmm. I only wonder if something like that size was underwater and it actually left the water, you would have massive tidal disturbances. Like, places would feel that. Well, something of that,
and they
that
might.
Magnitude mm-hmm. moving that's, underwater. It's like when a mountain collapses quick. Underwater, Japan will have a tsunami. Like, those seismic events are powerful. Something of the size of Phoenix, really.
Not, that, well, not of Phoenix, but of an airport.
But the size of an airport, yeah. Yeah. The size of what was in Phoenix. I imagine you'd feel that if it was located on the planet somewhere.
Some of the objects that were seen at that time were a mile, mile and a half wide.
Yeah, and that's a massive moving object.
Yes.
Yeah, it really is.
So if you've never heard about Phoenix Lights, I suggest you go online and research it, and you'll see what I mean. It is an amazing thing when you think about it.
Yeah.
I can't explain it. You showed me the video. I don't know what it is. I can't explain what it is. I mean,
it's hard to believe.
That's why they called it UFOs to begin with, right? It's like, UFO doesn't mean it's aliens, right? It's what it actually stood for was unidentified flying object, because they were like, I have no idea what that was. So,
and now what is it? UAPs or whatever they call them?
Yeah. Unidentified aerial phenomenon. Yeah.
Now, see, I don't understand the terminology change. It doesn't make any – I don't see it. I mean, what are we really clarifying here?
I think what they did was because of the connotation of UFO has been attached to, like, an extraterrestrial object, changing it to a term with a very literal denotation of this is an object in the air, we don't know what is. And it doesn't have to be an object. It could be a solar phenomena. It could be – whatever. I think it's to separate it from the speculation of UFOs. So it's a more objective term, but I don't know that it really matters.
Yeah, I think they tried to make a new word because people started thinking too much of little green men when they heard UFO.
Yeah.
But I don't think it will work. I think it'll work for like a little bit, but then the same thing will happen. Well,
the association is there and it will come back. I think that's what they're trying to do, but...
Now, I'll tell you what I do have a problem with. I'm not a big fan of the whole... I mean, I watch the shows. I like watching the shows, and it's neat to think about. I have a hard time with Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd have a time with that one,
too. I have a hard time with that.
Though, I don't know. I think that there was at one point some kind of Bigfoot-type creature. I don't think there is anymore.
Well, see, that's the thing. I'm sure there was maybe at one time. Yeah. But I have a hard time believing by now... with as many sightings as we've seen,
right,
that somebody somewhere doesn't have an actual Bigfoot something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That we
a
can
photograph, a clear photograph that's not a hoax. Or let's be honest, we live in America. You'd think a hunter might have taken a pot shot at a Bigfoot if they saw it. I mean, come on.
Yeah. They probably have like scopes on rifles now that are constantly recording.
Surely.
So I mean, they probably have that.
They do. I've only ever seen them in videos of people playing airsoft, but their airsoft guns record what they aim at.
Wow.
Right. And it streams it to Twitch.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Huh. I don't know how we don't even have an actual picture, because I don't know about y'all, but at least doing photography stuff, you can take a very clear picture.
Yeah, what are we up to, like 8K resolution?
No, more than that, like 16K.
Well, that's fine. Yeah, what the heck? I'm automatically hesitant of any, like, you know, say the use the word paranormal object that's taken on a 4-megapixel phone.
Yeah.
Because everybody's carrying around a very powerful camera in their pocket.
Yeah. You can take clear 4K picture of an eagle that just popped out of a tree and grabs a fish in like half a second with a camera from 500 yards away with no problem.
Well, I was going to say my best example is always that the Samsung phones, you can take pictures of the craters on the moon.
Right.
we can't get a picture of Bigfoot.
Oh my gosh. You know, you would think with all of just the simple, what are these like little trail cams people have, these camouflage?
Absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, if I thought it was, you know, people go out and sit in the woods, which I think is crazy, for days on end waiting on Bigfoot.
Yeah.
And they hear this clacking and, you know, whatever out in the distance. And I'm thinking, this could be deer rubbing their antlers against trees. I mean, it could be a lot of things. It could be somebody out there, you know, playing games with you because they know you're out there.
It could be. Are you kidding me? It could be two feral hogs running into each other.
If I saw a whole family sitting out there doing this, I'd like, man, dude, I want to go. Let's go snap some sticks and rocks together.
They're gonna love this. You go back and start screaming in the woods.
I don't know if that's messing with them, like making their day terrible, or if that's just helping them out.
Man, they would be. Y'all hear that?
You guys hear that?
Probably. And they always go. They don't ever go, well, it's two guys out there doing sticks. They go, it's Bigfoot.
It's Bigfoot.
Yeah, it's got to be.
Yeah.
It's the mating call. How do they know what the mating call is?
I know, right?
That would imply that we have mating call.
That's a really good point.
I can't even imagine. How would they even know, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I love Bigfoot, though. He's one of my favorite, you know, cryptid creatures. He's just fun to talk about.
So the cryptid community has a good explanation for this.
Yeah.
It's interdimensional Bigfoot.
Right.
the fact that you can't see him because he teleports.
Of course.
And I'm not kidding. Look, this is a real thing.
If he can teleport and he's a real thing, then nobody should be saying aliens can't
get
here.
Yeah, absolutely. Exactly. That's the case. Yeah.
Because that's an alien getting
here. That's just an alien.
Exactly. This is an interdimensional alien.
Right.
Now, maybe that's where our UFOs come from.
Bigfoot has a spaceship.
Look. Bigfoot has always been described as this lumbering creature.
Yeah.
If he can build spaceships, I mean, really.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a lot smarter than we think he is.
It's really just a Wookiee this whole time.
Oh, my gosh.
It's Chewbacca.
Really Chewbacca.
Yeah.
Now, I was going to ask you guys, too, the last part before we end the podcast, we were talking about fate and destiny. Mm. And one of the questions was, Do you believe in any kind of fate or predetermined like destiny, or do you believe your life is totally random? Mm. What do you think about that? We'll start with you, Brian.
That's another good but challenging question because I don't know. There's some things where I'm like, gosh, feels like it's sort of like a fate thing. You hear all these stories about things happening in people's lives that where like, I don't know, you run into somebody you haven't seen in 50 years and then you're like, oh, wow, or you lost your coat, and they bring it back to you, and it's your best friend from 30 years ago, and you're like, whoa, that's crazy. How does that happen, right? Mm-hmm. It's really weird. I really don't feel like there's a fate or destiny type thing. There's nothing that makes you, I think, well, let's say it this way. I kind of believe in free will in a sense, so I don't think there's something that forces you to go down a certain path. I think it's very reasonable to say that there's a feeling of, yeah, this is what I want to do or this is what I should do, and you can very much pursue that path. But I don't think it's like a predetermined outcome. I think it's more like a set of choices, and then that can put you on a path, which I guess you could consider fate.
All right. How about you, Matthew?
That's a tough one. I think we had a conversation about this probably about a year ago now, almost, in another podcast. And at the time, I think I gave the answer of I was more of a luck person. Of there's just you have some kind of weird luck and things just happen. As of the last year or so, I guess I've kind of changed my mind on that a little bit to where now I don't know if I'd completely subscribe to the idea of fate or destiny, but I think things. Too much seems to line up very specifically to occur that I guess I've leaned more towards it now to think that there's at least certain, I guess, keystones, for lack of a better term, in your life that are supposed to happen. Mm-hmm. And they're things that kind of lead you down a path of some sort. But like with what Brian said is I think it's completely free choice, but there's certain things that are just meant to happen. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of on the fence on it, I guess.
How about you, Brian?
Well, okay. This is, I'm going to be a little bit different one. Well, first, I don't believe in predestination, any kind of fate necessarily, because that implies to me a higher force that controls that. Someone has, or something, some force has to predestine you. That that's not something that just happens. If it's random, if fate is naturally occurring, then it's not fate. It's just the way things are. But I don't believe in fate. Now, what I don't know, the better question for me is the question of free will, because do we actually have a choice, or are we the, our experiences, the sum total of genetics, biological processes, and the neurological pathways that form as a result of our experiences? So do we actually have a concept of self-choice, or are we just the result of our experiences? And in a way, that makes sense, because I think people want to see fate. They want to say, well, all these things happened to me for a reason.
Yeah.
Well, they really didn't. The human brain is just very good at drawing connections, because that is ultimately how your neurological process works. It's a collection of pathways where you've done your learning, you've done your, you know, all your experiences and the things you've done make this web that is your brain. So you want to think that that's the case, but I don't believe that it is.
Mm. Again, all of my children, you can tell, are pretty level-headed, or the boys, rather, you know. But it'd be interesting to say, you know, find out what my girls think about this. But I'll tell you, you're going to find out that I'm a little bit weirder.
All right.
I guess we didn't see this coming, right? No. The UFO guy, right?
UFO guy has a weird opinion? That's impossible. That's
hard to imagine. You wouldn't think that, would you?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, anyway, you know, I don't understand the Kabbalah really well.
Mm-hmm.
But there are parts of what the Kabbalah kind of, what it, which is a kind of a belief that's embedded in Jewish mysticism.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I kind of go along with that a little bit, a little bit.
Mm.
Now I'm not a, you know, I'm not going to, I'm more of an agnostic in some ways, but I'm not going to say there's not a God. You know, I just don't know, but I am a little bit spiritual in nature.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I do believe in a certain spiritual connection that people have with whatever, whether it be the universe, nature, I don't know, okay? Mm-hmm. You know, in the Kabbalah, now I don't understand it very well, but what I have gathered is that, at least on a basic level, when you come into this universe, or you're going to come, or the world, when you're about to be born or whatever, your soul or your spirit or whatever, to whatever the creator is,
mm-hmm.
God or whatever, has an understanding. Like God says, okay, this is what I want you to do with your life. And your spirit or your soul agrees to this. But your body and your mind has no idea what this is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So your spirit is more of a kind of like you would, whatever that is that you would go out there and find water with.
Mm-hmm. Dowsing rod.
Dowsing rod. Mm-hmm. Right. So it's guiding you, trying to get you where you're going. And I believe that's why when we're born, even though we could all grow up in the same house and we all do some of the same things, but you three grew up right next to each other doing most of the same things. Not all, right. But you went to have your own classes and had your own friends. But you were ultimately generally in the same environment.
Mm-hmm.
You read different books. There was other factors, of course. But I believe life's kind of like that. I think that you were born with a certain, you know, your spirit or soul or whatever it is trying to guide you to where I believe there is some sort of destiny. Now, that doesn't mean it's fate or you have to get there.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that you were meant to get there.
Mm-hmm.
If you can figure out what that is that's guiding you to this specific, whatever this unknown place is in your life, that's ultimately where you should be. Now, the right. Kabbalah also believes that if you do bad things, it believes in karma.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. It does. Yeah.
Yes. And it believes that when you do bad things, make bad decisions, and ultimately it impacts how easy or difficult it is to find where you were meant to be. And I believe life's kind of like that. But I do believe in evil and good, and I believe in evil spirit type things and good. And I'm not going to say that God and Satan is not real. I'm not going to say that because I don't know.
Right.
But I'm going to tell you a story, and you'll find this to be very, and this is a true story.
Okay.
And I've never told anybody.
Oh.
I told your mom, this is a true, absolute true story. You're going to find
podcast
this to be
first.
A podcast first. And you're going to find this to be creepy. Okay. When I was in 8th, 9th grade, I would go out. We lived in this little, you know, this little neighborhood called Indian Hills. Y'all seen it, crossing the mortuary?
Okay. Oh, yeah, yeah.
The pond. And I used to go out there and shoot basketball at night all the time. Mm. Okay. Now, this is interesting. Okay. Absolute 100% true story. Okay. For those that like this sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Now, there may be some explanation, but this is the way, and this is the way I remember the events. Okay. So when I'd shoot basketball, sometimes I'd listen to the Clemson basketball game. Mm-hmm. And I would, as a kid, I would say, you know, so-and-so shooting three, and I'd shoot my three.
Right.
You know, we all have imagination. We have imagination, right?
Sure.
So I'm out there, and one day I'm standing there, and I'm looking up at the sky, and I'm just thinking. And I thought, you know, I'm going to have a great life. I just feel it, you know? And I remember saying, and it's a true story, I remember saying that, you know, not even the devil could stop me. Not even he could stop me. Because I don't think he can stop something that was meant to be. Mm. Just did not believe it. And I said, and that day, I had taken off my favorite shirt that morning. And it was dirty, and I threw it in the laundry. And my mom had not done laundry that day. I knew for a fact she hadn't done laundry. And I put it in the laundry myself. And I said, as a matter of fact, I said, and it's true. I said, I'm going to go in there, and I'm going to wash or have my mother do my favorite shirt. And I'm going to get it ready for tomorrow. So I go in there, and I look in the laundry, and there was my shirt wasn't in the laundry. And I go into my room, and that shirt is folded on my dresser.
Ugh.
And then I asked my mother, did you do the laundry? And she says, no. And I didn't tell her why I asked. But it was as if the gauntlet had been thrown down.
Yeah.
And then my life got really complicated.
Note to self.
Several years.
Yeesh. Do not challenge Satan directly.
So that's creepy.
Yeah, that's very strange.
You know, and I just had a thought that's kind of unrelated. Two things. You and I should do a podcast later about Kabbalah and esoteric religion. Mm-hmm. I think that would be very fun to talk about.
It would.
Especially with like Gnostic, not like the Gnostic religions. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've read about those at all. You ought to. They're very interesting in those belief systems, and they have a lot of connections to early Kabbalah and that kind of thing. So that would be a cool topic. But, you know, I was just thinking, sometimes, like we were just talking, I wonder about, you know, how much free will we really have. Mm-hmm. It's conversations like these that give me some degree of faith that we have a independent consciousness.
Yes.
Because they have no point otherwise,
right,
except to provide context to an experience. There's something unique about it.
There is.
And that's pretty cool.
But I'm just saying, when you go through life, I think most of us, and Brad may be right in saying that we just develop these pathways in our mind that guide us based on experiences. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, you've heard the saying, all we really are is what we thought,
mm-hmm,
which there's a lot of truth to that. Okay. But it could be that we were all meant to get somewhere, and our souls are kind of pushing us there. Whether we get there or not, I don't know.
And that's why I was saying we ought to talk about early esoteric religions, because that was a big thing in early Gnosticism, that you had an objective.
Yes.
And you had certain things that you had to do to move on.
Right.
Otherwise, you were stuck here forever.
Stuck here.
That was a very popular idea in early religions, especially those that parented early Abrahamic philosophies. Mm-hmm. So it's very familiar to a lot of people in the West. I think that'd be a pretty cool thing to go into.
So when y'all were doing things, and you're like, Matthew likes photography. It's just an example. Now, let's say you had never done photography.
Mm-hmm.
You would probably feel like, from a creative standpoint, deep down, and I'm missing something here.
Yeah. I mean, that is my one creative outlet.
Yes. That you enjoy a lot.
Yeah.
And you're good at it. And you connect to it very well.
That's my one little art thing I do.
So when you do that, you feel better doing it, doesn't it say to you that, you know, this is something I was meant to do?
Sure, yeah.
Absolutely. And Brian's a similar situation. He loves physics.
Yeah.
Now, he decided to go to school for physics, but a couple of years before he made that decision, I don't think any of us thought he would ever be a physicist.
No. I can tell you something weird about it, too.
I was always, I think, the kid that talked about astronomy and physics and being the science nerd when I was a little kid. And I didn't go that way, but he was the one who went that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that Brian, when he stumbled across that somehow, whatever it was, deep down and inside himself, he said, this is what I was meant to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because it's strange, too. I have this experience where, like, this is some, like, brain chemistry stuff, too, but I have a thought on brains, too. But when I'm doing physics and I get stumped on something for a long time, I will work on it so hard for so long. And then eventually, like, for whatever reason, I could go the whole day without eating by accident. Mm. Like, I won't even realize that the time had passed. And then it'll just hit me. Like, I'll just completely understand what I was working on. And I'll just go, oh my God, that's the one.
Right.
Yeah. And it's hard to explain.
Now, we were talking about karma. Mm. Okay. Now, I've had the same doctor y'all know for 12, 13 years. Mm-hmm. So a few years back, we were having a conversation and we were talking about heart disease. And he goes, you know, he's telling me these reasons why we get heart disease. And of course they all make sense. Food, your diet, whatever, you exercise, all these things, these factors, some genetics, I guess, I don't know. But he was naming these things and he says to me, well, you got yours a little bit young. He says, he was telling me why that might be. And I said, Doc, I'm going to stop you right here. I know why I got it young. Mm. I may have gotten it anyway, but my response to him was profound sadness.
Yeah.
And he looked at me and he didn't say a word. He just shook his head. He looked at me and he knew I was right.
Yeah.
He just knew I was dead on it. And he couldn't say that, but I think he knew I knew.
Yeah.
Okay. Earlier in my life, when I was a teenager, late teens, my family life was a little rocky, and I made a few decisions in life that probably weren't the best decisions, and ultimately it complicated things quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And I think when you start off on a rocky road, and you're not really going where you were meant to be, and if you have a little bad karma there, it gets really hard. Yeah. To recover in life and get to where you meant to be. Mm-hmm. At least it's in my view. And that's why when you guys were growing up, I was absolutely adamant that you started off on the right foot. Mm-hmm. Because it's just like anything else. Once you gain the proper momentum in the right direction, you tend to maintain it. Your karma starts off in the right spot. You're going in the right direction. But once you get off the rails too much, mm-hmm. it's really difficult to recover.
Yeah.
You know, if a train's in motion on a track and it's going full steam, it's hard to stop it.
Very hard.
But once it gets derailed, it's really hard to put that same train back on the track.
No matter what.
Yeah.
Yeah. How are you going to get it back on there? You'd have to rebuild the whole train, right?
Yeah.
I think life's kind of like that, you know. So I think that's a lesson to everybody when you go through life, especially young people. Put yourself in a good spot initially, so that you can get the proper traction and go in the proper direction and really do some soul searching as to where you want to be, where you want to live. Even today, there's a lot of places I'd rather live. And I think that that's because, you know, my spirit's telling me is, you know, as much as I, you know, and don't mind living here, it's not where I was meant to be. Mm. Something's just telling me that's not where I was meant to be. So when you're going through life, make sure you find out where you were meant to be. Mm. And you don't have to know all the answers, but you can almost feel the answers. That's why some people say, I love going to the beach.
Yeah.
I love that beach atmosphere. Mm-hmm. Would you ever ask yourself why that is? I mean, it's got to be a reason that your spirit just loves being there so much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's got to be a reason, you know. It's just something to think about.
Yeah. That's the same thing with even doing the work that I do. I told somebody the other day, I was like, you know, I'd really like to be a professor. And like, those are hard jobs to get sometimes. The probability you'll get the application acceptance. And I was like, I don't even care what the numbers are.
Yeah, you don't care.
It doesn't even make any difference to me what the number. It could be 1%. And I'm like, no, I'll get it.
You'll get it. Yeah.
Yeah.
You will, because you know that's where you were meant to be.
Yeah. It doesn't even, the odds don't bother me.
Don't bother you.
Stuff like that. You'll find a way to do it.
Yeah.
Right.
You have to be kind of hellbent enough to figure it out, but you'll get there.
You know, there was a person years ago had said something about timing, and timing is important. I think there could be a little fate involved. For example, you ever met a woman, but you guys are young, but if you ever met a woman or a girl and you think, wow, she's amazing. And you go, I'd really like to ask her out. And so you go ask her out and she goes, well, I'm really dating somebody right now. And if she's being honest with you, then the timing wasn't quite
right. I've had that. I know what you mean by that.
But if you had asked her at the right time, she may have said yes.
Yeah.
Things could have unfolded differently. Mm-hmm. Life could have been different. So timing does matter, you know.
And see, I guess that's kind of like what I was saying when you asked about the whole fate thing and destiny. I think it's odd how life kind of works its way out if you follow that path.
If you find out where you were meant to be.
If you walk down that path and you figure it out, it has a weird way of unfolding in a certain way.
I like the way you do that. So in Eastern philosophy, in the Taoism and the Taoist philosophy, it doesn't necessarily matter what your path is. The most important thing is that you're on a path.
Yeah.
And if you're following a path, you will eventually end up where you're going.
That's what I...
In Eastern philosophy, it's all roads lead to the same belief. Eventually, you'll get to where you're going.
That's kind of what I meant.
Follow where you're going. It's important.
That's kind of what I meant with the whole keystone thing, is there's certain parts in your life that are bound to happen. It's just how far along that path you get.
Yeah.
Because it depends on how you follow them.
Now, I fell into a pitfall early on in life, and this is something, too, to remember. If you're on a path or you're going somewhere or there's some place you want to get to in life or a goal, there will be people that will try to tear you down.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean just verbally to your face, but just behind your back. They will betray you, and they will do things to make you feel like you're not good enough.
Yeah.
Like you're not good enough of this or that or the other or whatever, and they will make you question whether or not you are really, you know, that you can do these things. But,
yeah.
And that's part of the puzzle. I mean, you have to know in your mind that you are meant to do this or you can do it. You got to believe in yourself when nobody else does. And that's the only way you're going to make it. Because if you just listen to everybody else, you might as well just go cower in a corner.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's not going to make you very popular. You know, but that's what you have to do. You have to see it through and believe. You got to know you even when everybody else doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
Because only you knows what you can do. You know, even I love Matthew to pieces. I know him as well as anybody could, but not as well as Matthew does. He knows who he is, and he knows what he can do.
I'm pretty awesome.
And he's very humble.
He is. He's so humble.
Oh, my gosh. I'm sorry that you didn't get enough confidence growing up.
Paragon of modesty over there.
Oh, my gosh.
Hey, it's hard work being this cool, you know?
That's actually what you mentioned there is one of the most challenging things about applying for grad school.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you apply, I remember I had probably 100 conversations about it. I asked everybody I could ask about it, professors and other students and everybody in the entire field I could. And they all, gosh, the amount of times I heard, it's real hard. You know, it's really not for everybody. It's not, you know, really maybe consider not doing it. It's very difficult.
Yes.
Goodness gracious. I mean, almost every single person said that.
Right.
But even in my head, I was like, I really don't think it'll matter.
Exactly.
And see, then they were like, well, that's how you know you should do it.
Right.
You know, I think's curious about that, though, and I've had not quite that experience, obviously, but similar things of just any, like, significant choice that I ask other people for, I've found there are choices that I keep asking different people for to get other people's thoughts and stuff. It's usually because I've already kind of made up my mind on it.
Yeah.
It's just I'm trying to convince myself of it, too.
Yeah.
Because by that notion, if you've asked 100 people, you already knew.
Yeah.
You knew what you're going to do.
You already knew, yeah.
Yeah, you already made up your mind.
A lot of times when you ask people, you know deep down what your answer is.
You're really looking for affirmation.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the confidence to do whatever you're doing.
See, when I ask people like that, and I ask you guys sometimes, because the reason I do is not because I don't know what I would do.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to make sure that I'm thinking clearly.
Yeah.
Really more than anything else.
Yeah.
A lot of times when I ask people about something, for, you know, say a work problem or something, I ask somebody. It's not because I really need their help. I want to make sure I'm going the right direction.
Yes.
Or make sure I'm not missing something.
Yeah.
You know, as I understand it, I pretty much know what I'm going to do. But it's good to, the perspectives can change.
If I get to where I ask a couple people and they all give me the same answer and they kind of affirm what I'm thinking, but at the same time, I have that weird inclination to go keep asking more people.
Mm-hmm.
I usually take that as a sign just to do it.
Yeah.
Because it's just like an endless trail of asking for the same answer.
Right.
You're at that point, I feel pretty good. That's probably the right choice.
There's a strategy that some people use where what you do is if you're torn between two choices and you don't know what to do, you can almost feel it. If you take a coin and you flip it and you say, okay, heads, it'll be this one, and tails will be this one, and you catch it and you look at it and you're disappointed. Then you know what answer you want.
Then you know which one you should.
Yeah.
Yep, for sure.
I actually really like that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's fun.
That's cool.
Yep.
Well, guys, we appreciate you listening to the podcast. We'll be putting some more out very soon. It was good to have the boys here all at one time. We don't get to do that very much.
Mm-hmm.
They're growing up really fast. Soap, I hope I get the chance at some point to have the girls on here. It'd be nice to talk to them. But, guys, thank you for listening to the podcast. You take care of yourself. We'll spoke at you later.